I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God the Almighty.
Dear friends, after describing this beautiful new Jerusalem, John went out of his way to tell us that there was no temple in that city. That there was no temple in the new Jerusalem. Does that mean that worship of God is no more? Not at all. Because he says, the Lord God himself is the light, is the temple. Why did he do that? We know for sure that at the time that Jesus arrived in human flesh, the temple had become a problem. The temple had become a barrier to the true worship of God. The temple was no more what God had wanted it to be from the beginning. And that was why, at some point in his ministry, the gospel tells us, Jesus went in there and whipped them all out of the temple and told them that you have to worship in spirit and truth, and that this temple will be destroyed someday. There will be no stone left one on the other, but still the worship of God goes on. Stones, mortar, bricks, they became a problem for the worship of God. Not that there is anything wrong with the temple, but it is we human beings who create these barriers. It was the scribes and the Pharisees. It was the priests who were there in the temple. They were the ones gradually creating a barrier between God and the people. In the first instance, when Solomon was given the dimensions for the temple, there was no division. But boom, right after the temple was built, oh, women will have to stay here, Gentiles will have to stay here, only Jews will have to. We continue to create division with things that do not matter. And we see it immediately also in the first reading. A group of people went to the Gentiles who had been converted to Christianity. Rather than rejoicing with them that they had found the faith, they told them, oh, unless you are circumcised, you will have no salvation. Forgetting that no human being, priest, pope, bishop, or anybody, has the right to say who gets into heaven or not. But they went and disturbed the peace of those who had been converted. Unless you are circumcised, you are damned forever. And then that was a huge, big problem. So much so that they had to convene a council. And I'm thinking in my mind, how many left the faith and never came back? Because probably not everybody will be there when the apostles sent their emissaries to calm the situation. Circumcision. Something on the outward. Something that really does not matter. Jesus told us in the gospel today, I give you my word. I give you peace. At no time did he tell his apostles, unless someone is circumcised, do not welcome them into the fold. Dear friends, let us not point fingers, because these situations are here with us. These situations of division about things that make absolutely no meaning to God, they are still here with us. You will be surprised what I hear as a priest. The things I'm told to do as a priest. I've been told to do away with the folk music, the 5 p.m. mass where we play the guitar and all of that. Oh, the guitar does not belong in the church. Really? And I'm thinking, isn't it God who gave these men and women the gift of playing the guitar? And for some reason, he doesn't want them to bring their talent into the church. Like, it doesn't make any meaning. Back home, there was a big hullabaloo about beating drums in the... Oh, the drum does not belong in the church. Really? Wasn't it God who gave these men and women the gift of beating the drum? Why would he refuse them using that talent to worship him? Why would we limit God to only one sort of musical instrument or the other? As if that is what God wants when he comes visiting, when we are at Mass. God's biggest problem is the type of instrument we use to worship him. He must have a lot of time in his hands, if that is his biggest problem. I've also heard it said that nobody should be kneeling while receiving communion, because when you kneel, you are endangering the people behind you. While getting up, you might fall over, and this, that, all kinds of scenario, dangerous scenario that could happen if you kneel to receive communion. And it becomes a problem. Trust me, dear friends, it becomes a big, huge problem. Someone is totally destroyed because there are people kneeling to receive communion. On the other hand, also, we've had the argument several times that no one should stand while receiving communion. It is not reverential. You shouldn't stand while receiving communion. Oh, say nothing about receiving it in your hand. Why should you? But this is how Jesus gave them Holy Communion. They were sitting. All of them were seated while Jesus gave them communion. So why are you and myself bothered about someone kneeling or standing? If we want to go back to what Jesus did, then we should all receive communion seated in our pews. But then that would be a problem because communion would take forever. I have to keep going. At no time did the Bible tell us that he told his disciples, kneel while I give you my body, kneel while I give you my blood. But it has become a problem for us, just as circumcision was a problem for them. Trust me, there are people who do not go to churches if there are no kneelers there. There are people who do not go to, and they told me that. Once they go into a church and there is no kneeler, they don't go there because Jesus is not there. Come on. His problem is whether we are kneeling or not kneeling. He never said that. All he says is worship me in spirit and truth. The only commandment he gave us, love one another. The only commandment he gave us was to love one another. So why should the external be Jesus' problem? I remember in the seminary back home, there was this big debate. The corporal, the little piece of cloth that we use for consecration, there is usually a little cross there, usually woven in red. There was this big debate. When you spread the corporal, are you going to put the cross on top or below? And I'm thinking, really? So Jesus comes to visit us in Holy Communion. Oh, look at that. He put the cross on top. I'm going back to heaven. That doesn't make sense. But it's here with us, dear friends. It is here. And it's tearing the body of Christ apart. But the disciples told us something very important in the first reading. They said, let us go back to the essentials. And that's why they wrote that beautiful letter to the dissenting voices. Leave them alone. Let them simply do what Jesus has commanded us to do. Let them simply live morally. That's all that's required. Whether they are circumcised or not, whether they are playing the guitar or not, whether they are kneeling for communion or not, these things do not matter to God. All God wants to see is a heart that is brimming with love. All God wants to see is a heart that is overflowing with love. All these externals, except if they are outrightly disrespectful or sinful, they do not matter to God. And our brother Paul gave us a very beautiful example of how to spread this message without alienating people like it was done in the first reading. Acts of the Apostles chapter 17. Paul went to Athens and he saw a plethora of idols, statues of idols everywhere. He could have told them, men and women of Athens, you are going to hell because all you do is worship idols. Instead, he first of all acknowledged that they had the sense of sacredness. Men and women of Athens, I see that you are God-fearing. I see that you are searching for God. But let me tell you a better way to get to God. And he began to preach to them. That was the only reason they listened to him. At some point, he talked about resurrection. They laughed at him. But get this, they laughed because they didn't have any concept of resurrection. But they said, we will come back to hear you another day. If he had come condemning them, they would have driven him out of their city. But they came back to hear him again. And he was able to make converts because he first of all saw the goodness in them. Let us do the same for our brothers and sisters, especially those who do not have the sense of sacredness that we have. Let us start with the goodness that is in them first of all, and then gently draw them into this brick and mortar that God has asked us to convene while we share love and fellowship. May the peace of the Lord be with you.